Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You live from DNHQ in beautiful South Pasadena, California. This is the Blue Heaven Podcast. And that is quiet, so we crank it up. What is going on, Dodgers Nation? My name is Clint. You can find me as RealFRG on Twitter and Instagram.
We look good today. I like how we look. We get to see ourselves up on the screen.
That's very fancy.
I like to stare at not me, because no one wants to look at me. Guys, my name is Brooke. You can find me at BrookeMe3 on Twitter and Instagram. On today's show, almost a sweep. Almost. We were just this close. Just this close to a sweep. But you know what? If you can walk away from Coors Field alive,
yeah, that's really your ultimate goal. Just be alive.
We barely did.
Just be alive as best you can. We only had, what, two casualties. And we'll talk about those casualties a little bit later in the show. There's a whole bunch of news and notes to go down on. Things happened at Dodger Stadium this afternoon. Good things, mostly. There is a National League West showdown about to take place. The Dodgers are going to play the Giants a whole lot over the next week or so. So, we got to talk about the first matchup here at Dodger Stadium, and the trade deadline is not that far away, and things seem to be pretty quiet. So, we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to have a game as well. Doug McCain is here. He's in the flesh. Look at that. He's going to move around a whole bunch. But how you doing, man? Thanks for coming out to the dark side?
Hey, man. I'm back, like hopefully Corey Seager will be this week. So happy to be back. Happy to talk some Dodger baseball. Got a lot of stuff going on. Big week. Got trades. They got the Giants series. Exciting time to be a Dodger fan. Excited to be back in Blue Heaven. This is like the side Blue Heaven. I mean,
I know you like it. Every time I think you've been coming in here, there's something a little bit new, a little bit different.
I never want to leave. Sometimes I hope you guys just leave and you don't look back and just kind of sleep here, hang out, look at all the cool bobbleheads, all the Dodgers memorabilia.
One of the problems with the office is you can't sleep here. You can't stay here. There's no shower. I mean, it's never stopped, Brooke.
A minor detail.
This is kind of mine and Brooke's, like,
where there's a will, there's a way.
This is our secret escape. Like, we're just tired of being at home. We come here and call it work.
Take me away.
Like me, I just build shit on the desk.
Yeah.
That's usually my thing. Or I move things on the wall. But anyways, enough about us. We'll be here. We'll be talking about Dodger baseball. Make sure you like and subscribe. Oh, my God. And listen to us on Pandora, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, everywhere your podcasts are available. We are a podcast as well, so that'd mean a lot to us if you did that and gave us some love there. Also, download our app. There's a Dodgers Nation app, and it's actually like pretty cool. I'm not an app guy, and I like this app. So there's your review. Back to you in the studio.
My review is that I don't know how to use technology, and I figured out how to use this app. So that's a good start.
You're very old. I heard somebody at a gas station bathroom called you.
It wasn't a bathroom.
35.
Yeah, I did. I did. Someone told me, you're at least 35, man. And I was like, whew, man. All right, wake up call. Thank you. Getting a haircut this week. Appreciate that. Guys, don't forget, this is a live stream. I am sad, and you can make me feel better if you drop into the comments. Let us know where you're watching Dodger Nation at. We got a lot of DMAC love. Everybody's in here saying what's up to Doug. We got Anthony over on Periscope saying what's up to Doug. Ricky Bobby Trujillo says nobody likes the Giants. That's true. We got Juice Nero's with our first Fire Dave Roberts of the stream. We're good for 1 to 3 of those every stream.
Man, we really got to make that, like, like a thing? Like, when's the fire first Dave one Roberts? We're going to hear? Yeah.
Oh,
how
yeah.
long?
I was like, that's
deep,
been a thing for a while.
How deep into the comments until we get a Fire Dave Roberts? How long does it usually take until even a win in post-game?
Today was the 5-minute mark.
I mean, so. I remember the post-game show after we won the World Series, and they're like, literally Dave the fourth Roberts. Comment was, we won in spite of Dave Roberts. That's what makes it such an impressive World Series, that they won even with Dave Roberts as a manager. That's always says he has to win two World Series to win his first. And hopefully that'll be this year. But yeah,
that's
maybe you need some Dave hate. It's all good.
Poor
fans just love it. They were MVPs.
Poor Dave. But there's some good comments out there. They're not all Dave hate. There's a little bit of Brooke hate. Our boy Roach is in the stream and says, "Hey Brooke, you look like Rob Dyrdek."
I've been getting that one a lot. Yeah. I do get that one a lot. Scott Novak says, checking in from Missoula, by the way. Scott says Brooke is at least 32. I'll take 32. That's not that far off.
I noted that that Brooke looks like a Riverside Trailer Park tweaker right now with the hair
the
and the mustache. It was better when you had the gray
probably,
shit on.
You probably
earlier.
Can't tell, but I got like a lot of nasty
show flow.
He's show going, flow going on right now.
He's going and, to Halloween. He's dressing up as Phil Bickford.
A very dirty mustache, like not even a good one. It's just like, his lip's dirty.
We're dicking around too much, guys. We're having too much fun. Sorry. This is what
like
happens.
Fun.
We haven't been drinking enough yet. DodgerRebel says.com. Swag Daddy McGee says, hello, Douglas. You got your fans in here. Roach says, the legend, Doug. I don't know if you read any of these yet already. But Jose says,
I wasn't listening.
Trade Bellinger. We're going to talk about Cody Bellinger in a little bit. But thank you, guys. We appreciate you all hanging out with us here in the chat, here in the comments. We're going to get into those as much as we can along the way. But we got a lot of stuff, and we've already wasted a lot of time. So let's have some fun. Let's dig right into it. We missed it by that much. The Dodgers almost got that that first sweep coming out of the unofficial first half of the season. Now, I know some people complain about whether or not it is. I mean, they already played 90 games in a 162-game season, so you're well past the first half of the season. But L.A. takes 2-3 in Colorado. On Sunday, the boys blew a lead not once, not twice, but thrice. I really wanted to make sure I got that in there.
Good,
shout
yeah.
out to Simpsons
yeah.
reference. But those leads were blown in the most 2021 Dodgers sort of way.
Yeah, I mean, Will Smith comes through, gives them the lead three different times, I think, during that game, something like that. We'll go with that. What's the first time they gave away the lead? They had a dropped infield fly ball into the sun.
That was a CT3 one, which was a tough
drop.
Play. Yeah.
It was a tough play, and I'll give that to him. The replay did not do him any favors because he has the sunglasses up, and he's looking up into the sun, like very wide-eyed. And they're the flip-down ones. They're not like the, I got to take them off my hat, put them on. It's a little rough, but it was very Dodgers-esque the way that thing went down. Didn't it just kind of feel like that whole game was like, this is leading up to an extra innings loss. There's no other way about it.
Yeah, there was some odd defense, poor defensive play. I think you talked about defense on Twitter earlier. Of course, if you guys don't know, Doug mostly runs our Twitter account now, at Dodgers Nation. Make sure you mash that follow
Now
button.
I feel like I don't have the freedom. What I liked about it
I mean, it's not
I
Doug.
Felt anonymous, you know what I'm saying?
Now
it's mainly Brooke. It's mainly
now
Brooke.
Now people know, yeah.
but it was bad defense. They lost in extra innings. Kenley Jansen kind of reverted, but not really. I'm not going to put too much on Kenley for that one. We'll get into Kenley a little bit more. But still, like, it had every feeling of a 2021 Dodgers loss. That's just what it felt like to me, particularly with the bad defense and the losing in extra innings. I know you did post-game yesterday. What was the pulse of Dodgers Nation after the game?
Really kind of the sloppy defense from even Justin Turner's play earlier in the game to Will Smith. I mean, they ruled it a wild pitch, but really it was kind of like, he could have made that play. He has the tendency to want to backhand everything. Then you got Chris Taylor. A lot of people upset if they didn't flip down the glasses, like you said. He kind of lost in the sun. What I was saying is the baseball gods giveth, like they did when the sun got in Josh Reddick's eyes on the Justin Turner fly ball that led to the walk-off, and then they take it yesterday, which really, I mean, put the Dodgers in a tough spot. I agree with you. It's tough to put that loss solely on Kenley Jansen. He didn't look his best, but hadn't pitched in 6 days. You're playing in Colorado at Coors Field. He's generally been really solid this year. He went into the game converting 21 of 23 saves. But really, like you said, it did feel just the second it went into extra innings, you just felt like the Dodgers were going to lose that game. It was they were 1-8. They went to 1-9 in extra innings games, and you know a lot of people hate the rule, the automatic runner on second. Which I mean, I want to get very upset about it, but then I've heard Manfred already say that they're probably going to do away with it. So
I think all of those rules are going away.
Yeah. So. Like I was saying, if you're going to add that rule, do it like college football. Have it in the the 12th or 13th inning, kind of like how they make you go for two after the third overtime, something like that, if you want to kind of have that action. Because, I mean, you're working so hard, a nine-inning game, and you got this runner on second. This is Major League Baseball, man. This ain't your local softball league and, you know, whatever it may be. But I feel like yesterday's game, a lot of, you know, a half full take, there was a lot of love for David Price. I feel like David Price came out 22 pitches in that first inning, and then 23 pitches combined the second and third inning, really was more efficient. I mean, David Price has looked a lot better, and I think that he's going to be more than serviceable to give you 3-4 innings during this time where they're trying to find more starters and get more length and get guys. So I think that there was a positive there. I think the one thing that hurts too is we were riding the high of Phil Bickford.
Yeah.
And so Phil Bickford. So kind of see that one, you know, as soon as
it's a tough spot for him to be. You know, I'm pretty sure that was his first outing in Coors, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I'm probably wrong on that one, but you know, you're trying to save a one run lead. It's awkward. You already had your closer, your embattled closer. I don't know. Kenley's been through some tough times, and you're coming in there and trying to lock down the game. Yeah, I'm not too worried. I'm not too upset for your boy Phillip Bickford there.
Yeah.
But
my favorite thing about the whole thing was they have 41 wins on the season, and 10 of those 41 are walk-offs, and they only have 9 road wins. Like, what kind of team are the Rockies this year? This team is hilarious, you know?
They, they're like that. No, they're not even as good as, like, an entry-level softball team or something like that.
They're just the guys who are just like, we're just here. And some days we're going to show up to work, but other days we're just not going to do it.
Yeah, but looking at a few of the positives, you got to take away the fact that pitching looked solid for the greater part in that series. Bueller shoved. Urias rebounded from that early slam. DP gave exactly what he was supposed to do in that his first official start as a starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Definitely some questions came out of that series, though.
A lot of questions came out, like, what the hell happened to the defense? That's something that's just been going on all year. I guess we can keep going on with that, but you got a couple injuries that you walk away from it. Let me ask you this. The Mookie Betts injury, did the way he described it make you feel better or worse? Because the way he described it was, oh, this has been going on all year, which initially I was like, oh, okay, fine, he's good. And then I was like, wait, that's not good.
I imagine a few folks being like, where's the Mookie receipt with all of the little injuries and nagging things that have gone on? But then again, we are both very far in different ways. We're both very far from being athletes, and we got several nagging issues of our own. But yeah, along with the positive stuff, again, you can look at a few of the good things that came out of it. You know, the bats are still going pretty well. Again, it's Coors Field. Again, it's the Rockies. And again, the Rockies are a really bad ball club. Some of the questions I really want to hone in, if you will. I want to focus in on, I think it's 5 topics. Well, it's 4 Dodgers topics, and then there's another one that is just for us. It's for fun. We're going to bring back one of our favorite segments. We call it, I call it, excuse the interruption, because we were always going to make this a segment or a show back in the day, but then we didn't. But the crowd goes wild for excuse the interruption. The guys, the rules are simple. You've all seen ESPN's Pardon the Interruption. This is the Kirkland version of it. Each topic gets 1 minute, where we aimlessly argue about stuff and things, mostly baseball related. I will be your lovely host of the show. I'm Tom Bergeron. Leading off, guys, we got to dig in a little bit more on Kenley, and I'm going to go to my resident Kenley Jansen expert, and that is that guy, Doug McCain. Doug, Kenley Jansen blows his first save opportunity of the second half. Is the fan base worried about Kenley Jansen?
So I would say when it comes to that specific save, you know, he hadn't blown a save since May 5th, and he had converted 21 of 23 save opportunities this year. You're at Coors Field. It's a tough situation. You want him to come through, but like every great closer is going to blow saves occasionally. Mm-hmm. I think that when it comes to whether or not I'm worried about Kenley Jansen, I'm not like SpongeBob, you know, chewing off his fingernails or, you know, that kind of worried. But I think what it comes down to, I'd be more worried if I didn't see the Dodgers' flexibility with getting those final outs during last season's last postseason. Because last year in the postseason, he had a 5.14 ERA. You saw how he performed in the NLDS against the Padres, and you saw what happened there against the Tampa Bay Rays in Game 4. Mm-hmm. So I think the Dodgers realize that they want 15
seconds.
Oh.
You're on a timer.
They want. So to answer your question, I think that the Dodgers are going to try to get what they can out of Kenley Jansen. This whole idea that he's vintage Kenley and he's, you know, 40% plus K percentage, that's not who he is now, but he's been effective. And to answer your question, I'm not terribly worried at this point.
I like I could see the panic set in. Like, yeah. It was just like, oh, shit.
Your first time playing this game, so I get it. It's a little different.
Let's run that back. No. Let me get another minute.
Yeah, we need where's producer? Producer. Oh, shit, it's me. Next up, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No.
Kenley's, good, because that's not how the game works.
Over.
My favorite thing, though, my favorite comment actually came before the segment. Anthony Keene says, Kenley and Coors don't mix. He's a Modelo man.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. We'll give some points.
Anthony knows we're Modelo men around here.
Yes, sir. That is what we believe in. All right, next one. We already touched on it a little bit. Brooke, this one's going to you. Are we worried about that rough defense? 59 errors. I think it's 59 errors so far this season. This is 94 games. 95th is today. 52 unearned runs, which is the most in baseball. Go and give me your thoughts on that real quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's the old saying? Defense wins championships?
No.
I don't know what we're doing right now. I don't know if that's a football thing or a basketball thing. I don't know where that comes from. Pitching wins championships for baseball. That's my opinion. But... Mm-hmm. I think we've gotten into this weird groove that we're in. I think Dave has said it before in pitching where he's like, hey, pitching's contagious. When one starter goes, all the starters go. And I think the same can be said of defense. We're in this situation where it's very contagious and it's really ugly and things are not getting done and they're not making the easy plays. Boy, am I worried about Justin Turner over at third base down the line. I just don't think that he's going to be the third baseman for the rest of the season. I can't picture them just letting that ride out. I don't see him getting any better. He's been on a sharp decline for a while. It's not just going to suddenly get better by October. I don't know who's going to be replaced with. I don't know if you can replace
seconds.
Him. But all that to say, if we don't straighten our shit out soon, we are not going to be a World Series caliber team. You don't win World Series with that many errors, that kind of defense. Look at that. 5 seconds on the clock still. You guys want to hang out and talk anything else? Oh, it's over.
He ended prematurely, but...
I have been known to.
But you nailed the sentiment. I figured your biggest focus was going to be the JT thing because we've been hard on that quite some time.
Very hard on JT.
And it's tough because he makes really good plays sometimes. Really, really nice looking plays.
Sometimes
and then,
he does. Yeah, sometimes he comes up with a ball that I'm like, there's no way he should have gotten to that.
But you know, that arm strength is bad. And when you lose the arm strength, you start worrying more about getting yourself ready. Yeah. So you're kind of playing balls before you have them in the glove.
Worth noting that the arm strength around the diamond for the Dodgers is just all around garbage. Like a bunch of limp noodles out there.
I mean, Max has got a sneaky good arm, but it's not really.
Yeah, I mean, at first base, good. What are you going to do with first base arm? Relay from right.
Some second base. Next up, back to the other button. Kershaw, your boy Clayton Kershaw, Tony Crenshaw himself, is getting a mid-season vacation for a pitching strap team. Is this a good idea or a bad idea? Which one of you two wants it? Is this free play?
He had the time left, so I feel like he earned it.
Going to him.
You know, I don't think they're getting a vacation. I don't think that's what we're calling it. I think it is a little bit more serious
kind of
than
a
I
vacation.
Thought. Kershaw had kind of said himself that he kind of worried about it a little bit. I think we were very worried about it just from what we had heard from other people. We were like, oh, crap, this is going to be a lot more serious than 10 days, isn't it? And it was more than 10 days,
yeah. But
not as serious as we thought it was. Not good timing. Nope. Again, this is one of those things where people had said early on, do you think they're just giving him a break leading up to the All-Star break? And I was like, a team that doesn't have any starting pitchers right now and the bullpen is taxed, you don't just suddenly take out your starter and be like, here, take an extra 2 days off before you take a week off. That's not how it works. That's not how it plays out. He was definitely injured. Yeah, I think he still is technically injured. I'm not worried. I don't like the timing. I think it was a bad idea to... force him to throw too many innings early on in the first place, but here we are. That's why I think we're going to acquire a starter one way or another. I don't see a situation where we do not acquire a starter.
I mean, they are acquiring a minute
exactly both times.
You've been hanging
out. Just call me Buster Olney.
Yeah, you've been hanging out with Buster too much. Yeah. Friend of the show, Buster Olney. All right, anyways, I keep expanding on these things. I'm not supposed to do that. That's not the
sake segment.
Of the game. That's not how the game goes, guys. This one's gonna be a little fun for me, because anybody who's been listening to us and watching us for years knows how I feel about this man. But Cody Bellinger is straight up not having a good time. He's down to like 168 on the season. Looks generally lost-ish at the plate.
Me too.
Still giving you quality defense, but defense apparently wins championships, and he's not playing third base or shortstop. So
there's an idea.
There's problems there. Guys, I am definitely worried about Kershaw, or about Kershaw's friend Cody Bellinger. I don't think he's going to go to AAA, much to the chagrin of 2018 FRG. It wouldn't hurt him, but he's had enough time to work on that swing. 2020, he worked on that swing for the greater part of that 2020. For that, the latter half of 2019, he was working on that swing. We were hoping after his hot start in 2019, where he was batting over 400 deep into May, that, you know, after that point, from his last day hitting over 400, he batted 263 for the rest of the season. It was like, okay, that guy seems like Cody Bellinger, and that guy now seems 1,000 years away. He is batting since the first half of that season. He is batting, where are you at? I have the number somewhere. I didn't prepare for this part because I forgot to do it. He is batting down to 239 since May. What is it? May 21st, 2019. Cody Bellinger is batting under 239. It's a problem. Dave needs to stop batting him in that four hole. I understand it's hard to have an MVP batting low in your lineup. But at some point, somebody's got to produce. You got to protect the guy. Bat him eighth. Let him figure some things out. Bat him seventh when Austin Barnes is in the lineup. Thank you.
That's Sorry. My time.
Sorry. I went over. See, this is the part where, you know, like, where Brittany would be moderating me. Stay tuned. Show coming up.
Go,
somewhere down the road. The final topic, Doogie's Wild Night. I'm sure we all saw this one. Your boy. Old school throwback Dodger, friend of the show, in our hearts because we love him. Alex Verdugo had a baseball thrown at him in New York because, you know, New York. And he wasn't happy. He was not happy about it. It was already raining, and a whole display happened there in New York. But the fan got pointed out. He got kicked out of the game and apparently is banned for life. I don't even know where to go with this topic, so I'm going to focus in on that fan banned for life and open it with, guys, don't throw things at baseball players.
I had the comparison made, or I saw the comparison made on Twitter. It could just start anyways. I don't even know what the hell we're doing. The comparison made between the fan who hit Giancarlo Stanton in Boston when he threw it from the top of the Green Monster. First of all, great throw. Absolutely perfect dime. And he absolutely did not mean to do that. No fan was like, I'm going to nail him rounding second all the way from the top of the Green Monster. Great throw. That's hilarious. I love it. Second of all, how do they ban fans from ballparks? No idea. People say facial recognition software that they have. I doubt that they have that in every damn ballpark in America. If you've been to the Coliseum, you know they sure as hell don't have it up there. I have had a friend that's gotten banned from Angel Stadium. He is not welcome back. I don't know how they how they do that.
Not
how they
being
enforce
welcome
it.
Back is not banned.
He's been banned from years. So I don't know, like, you know, 5-6 years down the line, he shows up wearing a mustache. Are they going to be like, hey, I know you? Like, one guy is going to be like, I remember that guy.
Doug, do you know any people that have been banned? And if so, what happens? You seem like somebody that should have been banned.
I mean, one time I was relocated at Dodger Stadium because a Red Sox fan. We got into it, and I wasn't, you know, he just was kind of attacking me. We just kind of got in an argument.
Yeah,
as it goes. But when it comes to the Yankees fans, to me, it comes back to their entitlement, really, as how their fans are. I mean, their fans can be like, well, we can't hit, we can't feel, we can't run the bases, we can't pitch. But other than that, we're the greatest team in the history of baseball. You know, like, they think every single year is supposed to be another ring and another World Series championship. And for that fan, I think that, look, I mean, they've had a frustrating season. Their payroll is what it is. They had all the expectations between the Dodgers and the Yankees. And I just think, look, don't throw a baseball at Alex Verdugo because he wants all the smoke, and they let us back in the stands. We just don't know how to act. You've seen it in the NBA.
Yeah.
You've seen it in baseball with the fan fights. But, look, when it comes to this fan and how they're going to keep him out, I think that look, man, there's just got to be a, like, the facial recognition, you know, put posters up in every stadium. If you see this guy call this number, you know, everyone can shame him. I don't know. He doesn't deserve to be at a baseball game. Because, look, let's say that hits Alex Verdugo. And
could hit him in the head or something like that. It could have clipped him in the back of the head. I mean, I doubt that the kid had a cannon or anything like that. You see his pasty, pudgy-ass white boy.
I like how he's, like, shaking.
Oh, yeah, that kid was so terrified.
I thought it was, like, Jabba Chamberlain's, like, long-lost son or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't imagine it was much of a rifle, but still, you don't throw it at somebody because a baseball, it hurts. It hurts. I'm going to demonstrate now, Doug.
Hey, man, yeah.
But if you guys
know. We need the rain.
Does anybody know? I mean, we have a live stream going here. Does anybody know about if anybody's been banned and whether or not they're allowed back into the stadium or how that exactly works?
Roach said that Brandon League is banned from Dodger Stadium. That's a good one. He is banned from L.A. just in general. We don't want to see his face.
Nomo FOMO says, I hope Dodgers fans don't turn into Yankee fans. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the upcoming Houston Astros series in LA is going to be weird, and that one's going to be okay in my book.
Yeah.
Just about anything goes. Leave the player wives alone. Leave the families alone. Yeah. Leave them out of it unless it's Jet Reddick.
Unless it's Jet Reddick, yeah.
Yeah, it's FTP.
Yeah. I got some words.
But beyond that, Moose agrees with you, Doug. Moose 1032 says, definitely an entitled franchise. Well said. So we'll give you another point on that one.
But I mean, I agree. I mean, how do you police it? Do you go Bobby Valentine, put the mustache on? I mean, what do you do to get back in?
You really can. I mean, unless they start asking ID from everybody entering the turnstiles. But, I mean, perfectly. Yeah. You throw the mustache on, the fake glasses, you're probably getting right in. And it's not like a local bodega where you could put your bounce check up on the wall. It's not quite the same.
Yeah, it's not like
boys
that.
And girls. Anyways, Salvador says trade Dave Roberts, please. Is that a newer one?
That counts.
Yeah, that'll give him. He's got jokes. Anyways, that's been excuse the interruption. I didn't listen. None of us really listened to the timer. So.
I don't even listen to what I say. Why would I listen to the timer?
We're going to get yelled at by the producer.
Man. Are we live? Is it live?
This is live.
Deborah says that's why Brooke grew a mustache.
Yeah. But what about the hair?
Oh, you got banned. Yeah.
You got to add. You got to add to the mystique.
Moving on, news and notes. There's a whole lot going on with your Los Angeles Dodgers and things that have gone on today particularly. So before we get into the massively important series against the Giants, let's get you updated on things. First, I want to dive into the JoJo Gray thing later with the Giants a little bit more. That seems fun. But Josiah Gray will be making his big league debut, it seems, on Tuesday. So welcome to the show, JoJo, friend of the show. If you guys haven't heard him, he's been on the pod and he's been on Dodgers Nation a couple times. Nice kid.
We'll have to release the get to know him again thing.
Thing
that Gary did where he's like, what do you like on Netflix? And he's like, Netflix.
Yeah, our boy Gary Sunday. Lee, who's on a nice vacation. He did an interview with him at spring training last year, 2019, something like that. Good stuff. But bad things happening to good people. Yes, Mookie is hurt, like we talked about. It's not, apparently they don't want to call it as bad as it is, but it seems bad. The dude was starting to heat up and not cool down. Yeah, well, I mean, his hip is broken now or whatever it is.
That's the thing is, like, when he's like, yeah, I've been dealing with a hip injury the whole year. I'm like, where did that come from?
Why do they keep hiding these things?
Where did that come from? I was like, did you have Joe Kelly surgery? Like, what are we talking about here?
He's got the hip. He's got a forearm. He's got a back. He's got a neck. I mean, we understand the human anatomy, Mookie, but still, like, pick something that ain't hurt or let us know ahead of time because, you know, we gotta inform the fans. Gavin Lux probably will be out for a little while. The hamstring that he injured in Colorado on Sunday seems like it's going to be a little bit worse than they anticipated, or than it seemed at the time. Dave Roberts today said they did some manual testing and said where he's at. It was clear it was going to take some time. I was talking to somebody before the show, and my assumption is we don't see Gavin until he goes to through a lengthy rehab assignment and learns how to hit consistently.
He might go on the 20-day rehab, which is the maximum a
he might go on can go the on. Yoshi Tsutsugo rehab yeah. assignment.
Not that I think the injury's fake or anything like that, but I think the seriousness of it maybe might be a little bit exaggerated by Dave early on. I think he understands that Gavin definitely needs some time at AAA. I mean, the dude, you look at him over the past couple weeks, don't have any of the stats in front of me, don't need to have any of the stats in front of me. Just the eye test tells you everything you need to know about Gavin right now, and that is just he is not locked in. So spending some time at AAA wouldn't be the worst thing for him. You're also running into the situation which we talked about last week, which is Corey Seager probably coming back this week. Chris Taylor is not a guy that you can afford to have sit pretty much any game from here on out. Gavin was definitely running into a spot where his position was quickly melting away.
It's funny, but it's not ha-ha funny, the way these roster things kind of figure themselves out. Every single time, it's like, hey, we didn't know if where Cody was going to play, and then something, a door opens, or a window, or somebody like that. Tommy opens a window, and seems there's a pretty clear-cut spot now for Corey Seager to make his return. By the way, we have Ryan. Ryan's in the stream on Facebook. First-time listener from Kenosha, Wisconsin, home of Gavin Lux.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not here crapping on Gavin. The Dodgers wouldn't be where they're at without Gavin Lux, because he stepped in. He filled a massive void when they lost Corey Seager, because you don't just lose, your World Series MVP shortstop and have nothing, have no worries. Normal teams don't. But
normal
the Dodgers are two losses behind having the best record in baseball. So
it's funny how we've not necessarily that we've forgotten about Corey Seager or anything like that, but they've just played so well that it's been that like name. Oh yeah, Corey Seager comes back probably pretty soon, right? And then suddenly it's like, hey, yeah, he's back this week. And it's like, oh yeah, Corey's back, yeah, cool.
So speaking of Corey on the horizon, a little rosturbation. This was much Brooke loves rosturbating. Things that happened today on Monday, which is going to be great if you listen to the podcast on Tuesday. Victor Gonzalez returned. Jake Reed is out. The new kid, the side armor, he gets to watch his wife play some Olympics, if that's still a thing. I don't know if that's still happening.
They got those anti-sex beds over there. I don't think it's going too well in Japan. Have you seen those things?
Got Team USA losing to like.
I'm telling you, if I'm an Olympian, if I'm training all this time to be an Olympian athlete, it's because I want to go just bang in all these other places. So
and they were like, "Here's some cardboard beds. Good luck fitting two of you." And they were like, "They got me. You can't do the floor."
Challenge accepted.
Genius.
Steven Souza remains with the Dodgers via OKC. This one kind of came out of nowhere, a little surprising, but
because he got cut and then came back,
and he was hanging out in like Seattle or something like that.
Apparently, he's from Seattle. So.
Coward. Nobody wants to do that. But
or lives there.
Souza's back. I would venture to say something went very wrong if we see him back with the big league club again.
They got Yoshi doing big left-handed boy things, and then they're going to have Steven doing big right-handed boy things. So they got they got some veteran backup should they need it. I don't think they will, but should they need it.
All right, Doug, gun to your head. You have to pick one, Yoshi or Steven Souza.
Oh, man, Steven Souza. I mean, I love me some Yoshi, man. I love Yoshi's Island as a kid. It was, great for the SNES. But, I mean, Steven Souza, I mean, that game he had defensively against Arizona.
He had a couple big moments,
sure. It was Souza-palooza for like 2 days there. But other than that, I mean, look, I do like his power. I mean, Yoshi just really hasn't consistently found it, but I'm glad he's having some success down in the minor leagues right now and trying to get that swing right and trying to get that power where it was when even the guy's a superstar in Japan, So hopefully, I mean, I like Yoshi. I like Souza, but I'll have to go with one of the two. I'm going with Souza. Did I make the time this time?
No, there's no time.
Oh.
Wait, where do I? I thought I had a timer. I have crickets. Oh, there it is.
That's time.
This is 60 minutes. I was going to talk about Seager next, but I want to point out the Muncies are due to have child very soon, as they say in the biz. So Max could bounce really at any point. Things seem a little weird. They seem a little wild. It sounds like Dave might just like they. Did you take what he said as they're cool playing a 25-man roster if they need to?
I think the plan is if tonight or tomorrow, Max Muncy needs to dip out and go be with Kelly. They're not going to activate Corey Seager till Wednesday. I think that's the earliest plan.
Yeah.
And things could still go poorly. And, you know, if he doesn't wake up feeling... He's not doing anything tomorrow, by the way. Corey's just going to take a day off tomorrow. And if he feels good, he's going to be activated Wednesday. If he doesn't feel good, that's a different conversation. But if he does, they're not going to activate anybody. If Max has to dip out, they're going to be like, well... We'll see Corey on Wednesday. So Tuesday, they'll play with 25 men. I think that's pretty ballsy, but it also makes sense. Like,
they did it for 100 years before.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It adds up. There's like, why make the extra move if you don't need to? Why, you know, change things up? Why make somebody travel all the way from OKC all the way to here and then back to OKC? It doesn't make a lot of sense to do that, so I guess it makes sense. But Seager back on probably Wednesday.
Seems like Wednesday.
We will probably be there to watch him return.
Yeah, we'll be at the baseball game for Star Wars night because I wanted Oral. One Kenobi bobblehead.
Do you like the Oral Hershiser commercial?
Those two in the booth are just so good.
I'm just, I love that they're like not made to do that, but they still do a very good job of it for what they do.
Shout out to our boy Eric V, the producer, the legendary, what is he now? Like manager of video content things?
He's the boss.
I'm the boss. Yeah, yeah, he's basically the boss. But Eric, we're going to be there, so put something on the board up about us, or who am I supposed to talk to? Is there an adult I can talk
says,
to?
Welcome, dumbasses.
Get him on the kiss cam.
I'm down on the kiss
cam.
Get
on the kiss cam.
Oh, man. Like, is it a group thing? But no, COVID's back or something.
Oh, that's
like that,
right. So, apparently, yeah.
Group outfield kiss?
I brought my mask.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little weird. Anyways. Stimmy Nelson is supposed to be back. Mention anything. Dave didn't mention anything about it today. He wasn't asked, but last we heard, probably Tuesday, I guess. So,
yeah.
Nelson will be back for the series unless something went really, really wonky. And there was a Corey Knebel sighting at Dodger Stadium. Today, he faced Corey Seager, so he had some hot Corey on Corey action. It's the Corey hotline. It went down and now looks like, according to Dave, maybe mid-August, which is initially like the earliest, might be the latest, that the Dodgers get a pretty effing key piece of the bullpen back.
What an acquisition, and it cost them absolutely nothing.
Like $5 million in the...
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying like the mid-season acquisition.
No,
not
actually, they have to pay this much. If you just went to cuts payroll, what's that saying?
Sport Track?
Yeah. I was being a troll.
It's pretty good. But, yeah. I mean, it's pretty sweet. I mean, we've been talking about this since, like, freaking June, where it's like, hey, if you look ahead at the playoff roster, there's a good chance you're getting back some pretty decent arms by the time the playoffs roll around. We talked about Tommy Canley coming back. I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's in the plans. I don't think that's in the cards. But we still get Corey Knebel back, which is a huge addition because that is, like, a borderline at his best, like a Blake Treinen type of arm, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal to add in.
And there's a lot of, you know, honestly, there's kind of a lot of trade implications that come out of that, too. Trade deadline stuff that we're going to get into a little bit later in the show. We're going to touch on the trade deadline for the third time now. Still nothing really happening on that front, which sometimes is good news for the Dodgers because they like to be real, real quiet about things. But if you have somebody like Corey Knebel coming back, and like you said, you have Treinen, you have a hopefully still good Kenley Jansen, and Corey Knebel, and you know Victor learns how to throw strikes consistently again and attack the zone with the fastball. I mean, you have a pretty dominant bullpen core. You find a way to make that work. It would definitely be one of the better bullpens they've had in postseasons past. So you hope they'd be exciting. Oh, hey, Robert brings up Brusdar too. Brusdar is another guy who's like just chilling, getting better.
Apparently, past couple week or so, he's been kind of tearing up minor league pitching.
He looked good in Washington.
Yeah, he didn't look bad. I mean, there's a lot to love about him. Apparently, he's really working on that breaking ball, which is what he needs to be working on. So
some good stuff coming ahead for your boys in blue. Let's dig into a few of the comments. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. So Joshua says, as somebody who recently had a baby, that sucks for him. Congrats, Joshua. And I agree, babies do suck. but as a Dodgers fan, that's great for us.
Leslie says she'll be at a single A game on Wednesday as well, probably. I think she meant Wednesday because we'll be there Wednesday, but that's cool.
And I will be at AA on Thursday. I mean, no, I'll be at AAA on... No.
It was a drunk thing.
As Doug chugs his beer in the background. We're going back to Doug Cam. I can't just leave it on there because, like, sometimes you're all over the place. You're, like, hunched over. You're dying. I think you're, like, half passed out.
I'm enjoying the show, man. I feel like I'm sitting courtside at a podcast. You know what I'm saying? This is like the best seat in the house right here. You know,
he's Jack Nicholson right now, basically.
So when I sat courtside at a Clippers game, which is,
I'm guessing you were given the tickets.
Yeah, I was given the tickets. Yeah. They were a lot bigger than I anticipated. Do we appear larger?
Yeah. It's kind of like
whoa, what the hell?
No, I mean larger than life, like personality wise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, we're full of personality over here.
Little
Mr. Personality,
you know, just like a courtside. But yeah, but say you're not playing. But yeah. Yeah, getting Corey Knebel back is going to be massive. I mean, premier reliever. Only he's pitched 6 innings this year, believe it or not.
Fresh.
Yeah.
I mean, so he remains fresh.
Yeah. So, like you said, I mean, this could be a completely different bullpen come postseason. I mean, we were dreaming of Canely. It's not realistic. But when you talk about getting a Knebel back and a Bruised Dark Gratterall back, I mean, this could be a very different bullpen that could, and like you said, it's going to have trade implications because with the hard July 30th deadline, that's pretty much who we're going to have. So we need Knebel back to be that guy. And he was pretty much this year's reclamation project, like Blake Treinen was heading into the 2020 season, except, you know, not as big of a contract as they gave Blake. But, I mean, you saw, I mean, when he looked good, he looked really good. He had a really hot start, and he kind of faded in. But the velo was there. The stuff was there. The movement was there. So I'm really excited about the idea of getting Knebel back. And like you said, if he comes back and that oblique's ready to roll, he's going to be healthy and really help this bullpen.
And
Mookie was scratched.
Oh, nice.
Right hip irritation.
The hip, don't lie, unfortunately, for Mookie. Mookie
up
is
to the
out.
Second news.
it doesn't do great for the podcast side of things. People are like, we already know. Actually, Mookie is on the injured list now. Like, it used to be called the disabled list, but that's racist. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just going troll. I'm assuming trolls today.
We're back to the point where Zach Rex is in the freaking lineup, dude.
It
might as well be Luke Rayleigh.
Cash money.
This is like the We Can't Have Nice Things season, but we're still right in the mix for best record, so feels still good. I still feel really good about it.
It is what it is. One final thought on people getting healthy in the trade in the future and all that kind of stuff. You know, at some point, Clayton Kershaw's going to be back. He's going to be in the rotation, so you're going to have Kershaw. You're going to have Walker, who's your bona fide ace. Check out our latest video from Eric Yulo. 3 up, 3 down. It's on our YouTube channel. It's on our Instagram. Eric talked about Walker Buehler pretty much being your Dodgers bona fide ace, and I agree. And his mustache is real. Not Walker's. We're talking about Eric's.
I was like, Walker, that mustache?
And then Julio is you know, he's proven himself in the rotation. He's going to be a fine number 3 guy. You don't really need to go out and get somebody to start game 1, game 2, game 3 for the Dodgers in the postseason. And, you know, you have for game 4 some sort of piggyback combination of David Price, if you need a game 4. David Price, Tony Gonsolin. Gonsolin told us in the offseason, right here, Blue Heaven exclusive, told us that, you know, his plan is to work and get better at being able to pitch in relief when needed, because he wasn't ready for that role at all. He was pitching consistently all season long, and then all of a sudden he had like 15, 16 days off, and all hell broke loose. But
I forgot we talked to Tony. This has been a hell of a year.
It's been a lot, you know. Yeah, I mean, other podcasts, they talk to one person and they promote it for like 3 weeks. Like, we're so busy, we often forget to promote these things. So,
apparently.
And we appreciate you guys for listening.
It's real fart smell energy.
Yeah, you know how it be. On that note, Mr. Music right here on YouTube says, been listening to Dodgers Nation for a couple of weeks now, loving it to death. You guys are top notch. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Mr. Music.
And also a little bit confused. We're not top notch, we're top flight. I don't know.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I just wanted to.
Isn't Top Flight the ball, the golf ball brand?
Top shelf.
No, definitely not top shelf. Yeah, we don't make that kind of beer money in the super chat. But guys, go ahead and mash that super chat
we're
button
there.
comments, people, other people are in here, stuff like that. I don't know. There's a few comments I don't feel like getting into, and also there's other stuff. Let's move on.
In a roaring stadium, their silence is deafening. 136 Israelis are still being held hostage by Hamas. Bring them home.
Giants are in town. They're apparently not going to face Mookie Betts in game 1. But the battle for the National League West Division crown continues tonight on Monday. Again, if you're listening later, it's a different day. But the Dodgers, as of now,
it's a good point,
are 58-36. They're one game behind the Giants, who are 58-34. Cowards haven't even played enough games. Seven of the next 11 days are against these Giants.
Uh-huh.
Once again, the really bad schedule maker. Like, they're blowing their load now. They were really, you look at the schedule, they were really hoping that the Padres were going to be the ones on top. But they're not. It could be at some point. They're a good team. And shout out to Pods for, you know, doing the things that they did there in Washington. But I don't feel like touching on that because there's a lot of really weird people, particularly on Facebook.
That's a good point.
But now you're getting your biggest, most important, like, two series of the year, and it's happening in July. Giants aren't coming back to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, don't they just play one more time for the rest of the year? And it's like early September or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't play in August, I'm pretty sure.
They don't play past Labor Day, I don't think.
So really, really weird.
So it's like, oh, that's good. I feel like you maybe should have wrapped up the season.
I feel like you keep those series when you start competing with, like, football or like college football and stuff. You keep those marquee
series,
you know, right after we're just getting warmed up. We've been without baseball for 4 days. We'll take, you know, Dodgers, Pirates. We'll take any series we can get.
Yeah, you don't put the freaking Crimson Tide against Clemson game one. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
But
that's
instead,
like Mississippi Valley State, you know, Tech.
Yeah. But instead, they put Dodgers against the Giants Monday through Thursday and then Tuesday through Thursday, I think it is.
It's a good game. Yeah.
And then you add the fact you don't have Mookie Betts, the marquee player for the Dodgers in tonight's game. So, but
who are they playing over the weekend?
Way to be Manfred, Rockies again.
Yeah, who puts the Rockies on the weekend? Like, no one gives. Oh my God, man!
I don't know, but
just put me in charge of something. Anything.
I should note.
For commissioner.
Yeah, dude, come on.
I spoke slightly out of turn there. I omitted one thing. This is the last time the Dodgers and Giants meet at Dodger Stadium in the regular season.
So
you believe that the Giants ultimately end up in the postseason? Are you still of the mindset that there are three NL West teams in the playoffs?
Hell yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you consider the wild card game a playoff. Yeah.
Do you think the Padres go get Joey Gallo? I'm pretty sold on that.
It feels Preller-ish.
It's very pro. I didn't know him and the Rangers GM were... what's that called? That roommates? That's what it's called. They were like frat mates.
They were frat boys.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
I like how Mikhail hooked up the Celtics with KG.
Yeah,
he's gonna hook him up. Yeah.
I don't know. Are we talking about trade stuff?
No, I was just like.
No, but I mean,
is any trade gonna happen?
As Gary says, I was just shitballing.
Grandma,
Lucas.
No, I think that's really interesting to talk about whether you think that the Giants are going to tail off, because it feels like every single week we're supposed to see the decline. But
I've been saying this since week two.
Yeah. If you look at the run differential, if you look at the home runs, if you look at the way they pitch, the way, you know, they're a great fastball hitting team, they crush righties. I mean, they have the depth. I mean, they're really, you see they mirror the Dodgers of teams of years
Farhan.
Past in a lot of ways. Yeah,
Farhan built what he wanted.
Yeah,
and he built a really good. I mean. I would argue that Farhan Zaidi did not intend for this team to be a first place team right now in the end of July in 2021. No, he wanted the randos that they picked up to play well enough to be really, really good trade bait. Because Kevin Gausman is not supposed to be good. Anthony Descafani, they're not supposed to be that good, you know.
Which is kind of funny because now they're kind of put in an awkward position where there's no way in hell they can trade any of these dudes.
They can't trade anybody. Yeah. They don't really have the prospect capital to go out and get anybody. Their bullpen is still.
And if you look at them, you're like, this is maybe a team that can do pretty well in the regular season. This is not a team that can dominate in the playoffs. Like when you look at the teams that they're going to go up against, so they're in a really awkward position. And this is honestly maybe ideal for the Dodgers because now Dodgers can't, or the Giants can't really improve their future value right now, and that's what the plan was for this year. It was like, hey, we're gonna kind of compete, but we're not really gonna compete. We're gonna trade off these 1 year deals. Discofani's gonna be gone. Alex Wood was supposed to be gone by the deadline. All these names were not supposed to be here by the deadline, and now there's no way they have to stay.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely don't sell off from a team with the number one record in baseball.
I mean, the way I think about it too is like, I think if you're the Giants in this situation, like you said, it's, you really can't sell at this point. I mean, what is that kind of message are you sending to your fan base? And I do respect the fact that they are competing when more than half the league is basically tanking. They're not trying to compete for World Series titles. But if you are Farhan, you are the Giants. It's not like you're trying to let Brochi get one last run or anything like that. Maybe you say, hey, our formula works. works. We've shown we can build some debt. Let's just pull the rug on this season, and then we'll play. I mean, play chess. That play a little chess because you're not going to beat the Dodgers.
Imagine
Padres.
Imagine the shoe on the other foot.
Imagine
how would you feel as a fan if your team was just like, all right, well, we're here in first, but we don't think we're going to be that good in the postseason. Imagine if the Padres did that in 2020.
No one's ever done that.
The Dodgers fans would still own Petco Park had the Padres done that in 2020.
Well, it's a radical idea, for sure.
Instead, the Padres went out and they got Clevinger. They went out and they got
Clevinger's on the team.
I forgot about that. They tried. They put in the effort to try to get better for that postseason run, and unfortunately for them, their frontline aces fell apart. Hey, did you hear? Denelson Lamet might come back again?
Oh no,
oh, man!
Padres.
At some point, they just got to be like, he needs to have the damn surgery.
When he's sleeping, just put him out and just get it done.
There's something about him. I don't know what it is, but they're just like, we're not going to give up on him yet. And what a bad team.
Yeah,
they're also in a position now where you looked at their farm system a couple years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, and you're like, this is by far one of the, they're up there with the Rays. They're one of the best farm systems, and they're not bad. I think that's a misconception. I think they did very well getting big names over the past two seasons for not that much. They got Yu Darvish for pretty much nothing. They got, Musgrove for pretty much nothing, and not necessarily that he's a good arm. Clevinger even, pretty much nothing. Mm-hmm. But you're looking at their farm system now, they're still a top 10, but they're declining. They're slipping off. And you look at who's coming up through their system and when those guys will graduate and move on from prospect status. And I think they kind of burn themselves a little bit by trying to compete too soon. But, I mean, they apparently thought they had a window. They thought the Dodgers had a smaller window.
You got to go in at some point. And I respect a team more that goes in than, being a team like...
Tigers.
The Tigers who have been, they tried before Mr. I died, but, Tigers, the Sox have eventually gone in, but, I'd say the biggest one is probably the Astros, who tanked, hardcore.
To get one. Cubs, same thing. They tanked really hard.
Remember when Cubs were going to be a powerhouse?
Went all in for 1 year. All in for 1 year, and then we're like, okay, we blew our load. Now we can just hang out back. Let's trade all our guys this year. I'm really interested to see what the Cubs do at this trade deadline, too, because there are so many franchise names that are probably not going to be on their team by the end of July, and that is wild. Anthony Rizzo might not be on the Cubs by the end of July.
Yeah. That's a big one for me, too, because it's not like he's a better player than a Chris Bryant, but he just feels like the most Cubs player.
He's a Cub. He's a Cub through and through. Yeah. I mean, Javi Baez, I feel like will probably stay. That's one of the names that I feel they're probably going to extend somehow, and they're just going to make it happen. But you look at a Chris Bryant, and it's what a weird year. I feel like teams are going to look a lot different in a week.
This has been MLB talk. Is this talking baseball? Because I'm pretty sure
they sold their soul for that combined no-hitter right there.
John Boy and Jake would murder us for stealing talking baseball.
You see Trevor Plouffe.
What's up, Trevor? Moving on, getting back to the topic at hand. Getting back to the topic at hand, which is Giants are in town. They're playing the Dodgers. It's going to be a good matchup because... we are going to see Josiah Gray. It looks like JoJo might start on Tuesday, or he might be the bulk guy on Tuesday. Either way, he's going to make his debut. They've kind of hit a point where really they have no chance. It looks like we already talked a little bit about Kershaw. Kershaw's not going to start again until August, maybe. But this little, they use the injury to sort of build in a vacation for him, as I so aptly put it. But, the team is still without Bauer, and to be real, probably not going to come back. So you got to keep going with some form of a bullpen game. You finally got this guy, JoJo Gray. He's healthy. He's thrown. He's up to about 70 pitches. And this is going to be his time to shine. Like you had mentioned before the show, it's a really effed up spot to make your debut in. Such a, it's a rivalry.
Hey, number one team in baseball, rivalry at home, in front of your fans, go at it. He's like, oh, okay.
It's a way to do it. F it. You know what they say, YOLO. That's like Margaret Thatcher used to
who
say.
Did they, Dustin May, was it Dustin May or Walker Buehler that made his debut? No.
Buehler made his starting debut against the Marlins, which was trash.
Marlins, I remember that. Yeah, I was at that game. So that one I was like, oh, Marlins, great time to make your starting debut.
Yeah, ease him in, which makes me believe more what you said before the show, that we might see an opener with Victor Gonzalez or something like that. A lot of it will depend on what happens in tonight's game Monday, which again is pointless on Tuesday if you're listening to the show, because all these numbers and names and stats don't mean anything because everything has changed. Baseball is every day. But I'm excited about Gray. Who do you think gets sent down for JoJo?
Somebody gets the DFA. That's the biggest thing. You have to find a roster spot for him, right?
Who's it going
to
be? Where we at? Oh my God, where are we at?
I mean, I love the kid. He's a good guy. I think it was fun to see him make his debut at I don't know how old he is, but he's probably pretty old. But I just don't see Jake Reed sticking around.
Oh, because you need the 40-man spot.
You need the 40-man spot. Yeah. I mean, he has to be the guy that gets the DFA. So I think Jake Reed's gone. You also have to make a spot on the actual roster, which is a little more complicated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if Max Muncy happens to have a baby overnight, then that would make things real easy. They honestly might be like, just hey, go on paternity leave. Start heading out now. I don't know what they'll do.
Edwin Rios, 60-day IL.
Is he still not on the 60?
No, he's on that. They made up an injury for him.
Really?
Wait, who did I say? Usada. I meant Edwin.
Oh, I was
Usada.
Like, Rios? Yeah, I was like, he's got to be on the 60-day.
I saw an Edwin, and I just kind of laid into it.
Usada could be, could have a made-up injury.
On that note, they're going to need a roster spot for Corey Seager, too.
Corey Seager.
Yeah. So there's going to be some bodies a-moving. There might be some DFAs a-happening. Who knows? This might be the last time we see Zach Rex.
Oh, Jimmy Scherfe, that guy too.
Oh yeah,
it's a good chance he was just here for a week.
Yeah, it'd be like that. But roster wise, like active roster wise, Alex Vesia, he's a spot. Scherfe is a spot. Darian Nunez is a spot. So the active roster, comes into frame for sure. A lot we're gonna find out tomorrow. Cause YOLO. Moving on. Want to plug? Well, one, we want to plug again the DN Fan app. Check out Dodgers Nation. We have an app, and it's cool. Like I said, it's not a bad app because there's a lot of bad apps out there. Speaking of another not bad app, there's a brand new game out right now with our friends at Chancer. Go to ChancerHQ.com/Dodgers. Or if you already played with us last week, along with us last week, you probably got the push notification, but there's a new game out. We still need to find the winner, by the way. It was NY Dodger Fan, and I don't think they responded to correspondence from Chancer. So keep looking your junk mail, looking all that if you are NY Dodger Fan. You won. You won the Fanatics gift card from the last game, but we are giving away another. They, I guess, technically are giving away another gift card. $200 Fanatics gift card for this series. The game is officially live now, but the game is for the final game of the Dodgers at Giants or Giants at Dodgers series. So go ahead and play. The game is going to auto select a random winner if a tiebreak is needed. So it'd be, we either we're going to pick it. Maybe, I don't know. That's one of the things. We hope there isn't a tie. There's more questions than there were last time, but play the game. We're probably going to be doing Chancer Thursdays for a little while, so have some fun. If you guys have any feedback on it, have any questions you'd like to see in the game, let us know. Again, the price is the same, $200 Fanatics gift card. So play with us. See if you can beat beat us on the leaderboard.
I'm not on the leaderboard.
I don't think anybody is right now. The game hasn't happened.
No, I mean, like, it's on Thursday. Just in general, I'm not on the leaderboard. I think the past couple ones I've finished pretty low.
As you do. I finished fourth in the last one. So,
oh, look at me. My name is Clint.
Damn. Can I get your autograph?
Yep.
Man.
It's pretty good.
Real fart sniffer.
Been working on my impressions lately.
And again, ChancerHQ.com/Dodgers or go to DodgersNation.com/Chancer. They're all about the same thing. Final topic, trade deadline. Let's get through it quick. It's late, getting closer to game time.
Hour till game time.
We're getting closer to game time.
You're right. Closer to desk, closer to game time.
We got things we got to still do in here for work. I got to drive all the way home. People don't get to live close like you,
Chief. Look at me living in a different place.
Yeah. Do I sound like that, Doug? Would you say I sound like that?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Ah, you suck. You're terrible at impressions, you damn hick.
I don't get paid to impress.
No, that was good. That was money.
You hick.
That was money.
Who the hell would have thought that Jock Peterson would be the guy to kick off the trade deadline? The big move.
I would have thought that.
I hope you put money in Vegas on that.
Honestly, I thought he was. I was pretty sure he was trade bait anyways when he first signed a deal with the Cubs. I was like, yeah, he's definitely a summer trade candidate for sure. He makes sense. Big left-handed bat, hits a lot of home runs, big playoff guy.
thought he would have done a lot better by now playing at Wrigley, but that's okay. You know, I won't fault him for it too much. Going to the Braves was just the weirdest thing for me. I mean, the Braves is the landing spot that you and I had picked for him at the beginning of the season before Acuña went down.
Yeah.
So when he went down, I was like, oh, that's it. Braves are just going to wrap it up. They're, you know, five games out of the East or something like that. But it is still a pretty weak division, relatively. The Mets are very susceptible to losing. Mm-hmm. But I was still surprised to see Jock go to the Braves.
Yeah, I would say I agree with you 100%, Brooke. It's the division's up in the air. I mean, DeGrom, who knows what's going to happen with him, the Phillies. I mean, they definitely are signaling that they're still going to go. Alex Anthopoulos, you know, he wants to stay aggressive. And he said, hey, I want to bring in the Tomahawk Chop. You know what I'm saying? You know, bringing him in after the Acuña injury shows they want to be aggressive. And all those teams out there that might have been interested in possibly trading for Charlie Morton, a lot of people say wants to stay in that region of the country and this and that.
Yeah.
And not that it's his choice, but.
exactly. The one-year guy, he's not going to get
the 10-5 rights. Yeah. But, I mean, it is pretty interesting when you hear about Jock Peterson kind of kicking things off with the whole – the trade deadline buzz and everything like that. And you just kind of want him to – I mean, I still root for Jock Peterson. I have a hard time not wanting to have success. But now it's a little different because the Cubs, I never really thought would be a contender. Yeah. But now that it's the Braves that we played in the NLCS last year, they are a team that still feels like they want to compete despite the injuries that they've suffered. But, I do love the fact that he's rocking number 22 for Mr. Clayton Kershaw. I respect that.
I know. We were laughing before the show how – that one flew under the radar until he posted something about it on DodgersNation.com today, and then all these little outlets are posting about it on their social media as if they found it all on their
own. It was this thing, too, where I, like, back-pocketed it, and I was like, I'll get to that eventually. Yeah. And then I finally got to it, and I was like, why is this everywhere today? And he's like, well, you just wrote it up, so.
Oh, my God. Are you at MLB Elites?
I am Sources, and at BSBLLR, or whatever that account is.
Baseballer.
I don't know.
Is that the letter guy? Is that the one that
Source
used to be?
Trust me, bro.
Yeah. He's big time Sources.
I love that.
Speaking of Sources, have you guys been enjoying all these burner accounts popping up?
Oh, yeah.
We had Mike Hawk. We had Felicio. We had Seth Martini or Marini or whatever. That was the first one. That burner account on the Twitter has since been DFA'd.
But think about it. If Brooke just went on his Twitter today saying,
Sources are telling me
the Dodgers will be trading for starting pitcher, and it happens.
Oh, I'm a real person, so that would definitely be picked up. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, so is John Heyman, and that's an effing Heyman tweet. That's a Nightingale tweet.
Yeah. Sources telling me that the Dodgers are very interested in starting pitching.
Yeah, there you go. To be general. But
they're like, oh my God, we have something.
Everybody run with it.
But I will say, one of my favorite Brooke quotes is, you don't have to have a blue check to have Sources. So when I'm always looking for guys, it's just because they don't have that blue check, you might see something that's real, what's not. Some guys, you know, that they work for a network or something.
I had the Bauer contract. I mean, I know it's a touchy subject, but I had the Bauer contract down to $1 million.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything because I didn't say it to anybody else except us, but
yeah.
But I was like, I'm not telling anybody that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got that from somebody else who got it from somebody else, and I was like, oh, yeah, you got it. Way to go. That was on you.
And for folks who watch us, and especially watch Doug on the YouTube, you know, we have a thing that we came up with in the off season that we're relatively proud of in a way, just in the humor of it. But, you know, there's the rumor meter.
Mm-hmm.
And Does it sniff? Does it pass the sniff test?
Yeah.
How many Dodger dogs is it? And, you know, we consider ourselves something of a service here to the fan base. And we want to make sure that people aren't going to get bamboozled or hoodwinked or...
Mm-hmm. Let Mike astray. Hocked. Yeah, that could be a new phrase. I mean, really.
Don't get Mike hocked.
Yeah, don't get Mike hocked. Don't even get fellatioed unless it's, you know... Well, Wednesday, because it's
all your birthday.
Yeah. Your birthday. But, one of my pro tips for Dodgers fans, if you read it on the internet, it's probably not real because the Dodgers are airtight with their negotiations.
Ooh. We had a incident when we remember when Austin Barnes got the send back to AAA?
Yeah.
We got that probably 5 minutes before the Dodgers actually released it into a PR, and apparently the PR team went off. Like, they were just like, how did people find out about this? And that was just like Austin Barnes to AAA. That is nothing. So imagine like the Bob Nightingales of the world saying that Bauer went to the Mets. Things like that. It's wild.
I don't know how Bob just owns it, man. That's wild.
He doesn't.
He
owns it by just being like...
By just continuing to exist?
Moving on.
His tweet...
He didn't acknowledge it at all. He didn't say like...
That tweet is out there.
You remember that like... giant ass mistake that I just made that like sent an entire fan base into a frenzy for 3 hours. It was wrong. He doesn't say that. He's just like, hey, to the Mets. And then an hour later, to the Dodgers. And that's it.
Like, at this point, he just tweet out like every single possibility.
That's
Wait. Breaking. Larry Scott adds tomfoolery.
There you go.
That's an important
one. That's my next.
Oh, shout out to Larry Scott, man. He's always biking, man. Larry Scott's my man. He tags me in pretty much every single one of his tweets, man. You're the real MVP, Larry Scott.
It's your boy Doug.
Yeah.
But so I saw one comment earlier that's saying like, yeah, let's make the shortest segment the most interesting one. And honestly, it's kind of not the most interesting segment right now or subject because there's nothing happening. The rumors are so
thin.
This
is an interesting subject because, I mean, there's nothing. The biggest thing that we have right now is that the Dodgers are attending Cole Hamels' session.
Yeah.
And that's it. Beyond that, there is nothing worth grabbing. There's nothing tangible. There's the only thing that is worth anything is that the Dodgers are interested in starting pitching, which my 4-year-old niece could be like, oh, hell yeah, they need an arm big time right now.
Hey. Grandma.
It is what it is, man. Like, there is nothing to talk about because the Dodgers are very good at their job. I can tell you that if there is a name available on the market, the Dodgers will be in contact. It doesn't matter who it is. Yeah. It doesn't matter what they're doing. Because Andrew Friedman is so good at his job, he's going to check in with everybody on everybody available because there might be some weird off chance that if, you know, let's say Joey Gallo is available, the Rangers are actually very interested in like a very back of the prospect list of ours because that happens sometimes where they're like, I got this eye on your guy. And they're like, this is our number 35 prospect. And they're like, I really like that guy. Yeah. And you're like, okay, things like that happen. So you got to check in. You got to do your due diligence. It's going to happen. Dodgers will be involved on everybody.
And that's one of the good things is at least with these burner accounts, you're still there. A lot of the times they're tweeting something in the general vicinity of reality. So like the idea of Charlie Morton at least gets the conversation going, where it's like, yeah, this guy does make a lot of sense. Sure, the sources.
He's a 2017 Trastro, so that didn't sit well with a lot of people.
I get that,
it's business.
The pitchers didn't cheat. The pitchers didn't benefit.
And he was pretty against it. He said he regretted this and that, but I'm with you guys. I mean, it does feel like it's almost like the quiet before the storm, but I just kind of read into what the Dodgers did in the offseason. They had a healthy Dustin May. They had Gonsolin before he even got injured. You had David Price. You had Kershaw, Buehler, Urias, and they still went out and paid $102 million for Trevor Bauer, making him the highest paid pitcher in a single year. So that let you know that they wanted that starting pitching depth. And now, like you said, the likelihood of Trevor Bauer coming back this year, I think, is minimal. And then the workload to Urias and Kershaw and Buehler, you're going to need some more depth in starting pitching. Yeah. And like I think Feinsand said yesterday, the Dodgers aren't a war path for a starting pitcher. And I think he mentioned on AM570, he did whisper something about Kaber Ruiz being an option. I don't know. I mean, to me, I kind of go back and forth on wanting to trade him or not based on like whatever highlight I see on Twitter, know, him eating a home run. But
you don't want to trade him, but you hit a point where you'll be okay, especially if it's getting the right body.
It just depends.
Arm.
I mean, scared money don't make none, and I think that this is a year for the Dodgers where they're in prime position, especially when you see what AJ Pollock's been able to do this season as a right-handed bat, and then
coming
Max Muncy, Mookie Betts is playing like MVP Mookie Betts all of a sudden. So I think that I'm less concerned about adding a right-handed bat. Like you said, the bullpen.
And there's Theo.
And then we got Theo Albert.
Tyo Albert.
Yeah, we got Tyo Albert. So it's all about starting
pitching.
What
were the stats you posted on him today? He's hitting like 380 or something ridiculous against left-handed pitching?
Yeah, 344. I mean, they're 36-18 at 108 win season clip with him. I mean, obviously, his intangible things, the clubhouse presence. But bottom line is
Mom, a hug goes a long way.
Exactly. A little hug there, man.
It's funny because she's dead.
You got the swag chain. We got the T.O. hugs. I mean, that's what it is.
She was a nice lady. Rest in peace, Mom. Everything is on the table. I made it like that.
Yeah. I mean, in your guys' opinion, I want to ask you guys, what do you think the likelihood is the Dodgers will go really big? Like, try to get the biggest name out there, the Gibsons?
I really can't see it because I don't think
they don't sacrifice anything long-term for anything short-term ever.
Other teams want to take down the Dodgers. They want to do everything they can to F them in the A, and the A is the farm system. They want to beat it down even more. I think Andrew Friedman was talking to some media folks. Plunk reported on it. Bill Plunk, a friend of the show, he talked about like Friedman despite all the bodies that have been moved in past trades for Yu Darvish, you know, Machado, the Mookie Betts deal. Dodgers have made a lot of moves over the years, right, and they've traded a lot of prospect capital, and they still got a lot in the tank, and you know, they had another pretty decent, by all accounts, pretty decent recent draft. Really, really rich in pitching still, somehow. It's not all, you know, it's not all big league ready pitching, but it's pretty damn close, and these are the type of arms that people want. And the same with you know, with catching. Every team is always going to want like young, controllable, elite catching. So the Dodgers are in a very enviable position to go out and get whoever they want. But I just don't, I can't imagine, they don't need that front of the rotation guy. They don't need an elite guy. They don't need to go out and get Craig Kimbrell or something like that, in my opinion, especially if somebody like Knebel's, you know, right there. But if JoJo Gray is somebody they could plug into the rotate or the back end of the bullpen, or Gonsolin or whatever, got some options. I don't think they go top of, you know, top of the trade paradigm or whatever. I don't know. I'm not quite
been
that
saying
up
it for a while. I think they're going to get a number five starter, that type of guy. Guy's going to eat up starts. He's going to eat up innings. He's not going to be your playoff starter. He might be a bullpen guy that you plug in during the playoffs, but I just don't see them going after a big name. Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why Scherzer is even discussed at all, like just in general. He's like $30-something million. He's 30-something years old. Yeah. It's just, there's way too much working against him. Want a lot. Teams
and bottom line, Scherzer can just, you know, he's got the no trade, the 10-5. He can say, if you're not going to extend me, I mean, I just can't see the Dodgers signing, like you said, 37-year-old Scherzer, like a 4-year deal. I mean, that's never going to happen. That's why I've been surprised with all the talk about Hendricks, because he's got a couple more years left on his deal. He's not the 2016 guy that dominated us in game six, right? So, I mean,
they need a 1-year dude.
Yeah, definitely.
Honestly, the dude who makes the most sense is the Cole Hamels move, and it's the one that's been the loudest.
Yeah, the funny thing, too, is people were like, well, he's not going to be able to slot in right away. And it's like, yeah.
They don't need him to
right
away.
You don't really need anybody to slot in right away. Kershaw will be back by the end of the month. So, I mean, whenever that happens, it'll be a little bit easier for us. But it looks like, you know, if Josiah Gray does get to start tomorrow, he'll probably be with us the rest of the year. I don't really see him going anywhere after that, if that's the case. You get time for Cole Hamels to get back up, build him back up in AAA, becomes your starter. You can maybe move Josiah back into a bullpen position because we probably, again, are going to need him in that role down the stretch. And it costs you nothing. I mean, what is Cole Hamels going to cost you? He's going to cost you nothing.
A little bit of money, no subtraction.
And you're already over the luxury tax threshold. And the CBA is expiring, so those numbers probably won't mean anything after this season. And Cole Hamels makes a lot of sense, Dodgers-wise, because as has been noted by MLB insider Brooke Me Three.
It is me.
You know, the Dodgers, particularly Andrew Friedman, wants to continue his Infinity Gauntlet collection of 2008 Phillies.
He's real good at it, man. I mean, really he's got good. All of them.
We got Utley. They got Chu Ruiz. They got Shane Victorino, even though that was a Ned move in 2012.
It was a Ned move.
I didn't even know I had Twitter back then. And I went back and I was scrubbing stuff because I was trying to push for that for Jock and Bellinger and that crazy deal.
Oh, God.
So that was another
account. Oh, so you used to be dumber.
Yeah, I mean, hey, man, I would talk a lot
not
of smack.
Not a prospect.
We want Cole Hamels, man. Just whatever it takes.
Ryan Madsen, Jimmy Nelson, Jimmy Rollins, and Joe Blanton. Those are all dudes.
Jimmy Nelson.
All
2008 Phillies. Every last one of them. And all spent sense. Times with the Dodgers at some point.
Think of how
as long as we don't sign Curt Schilling. Yeah, you know I mean, like,
think isn't he like half dead now?
Oh my God.
Like, he's the dude knocked. Looks like a ghost. Oh, yeah. Looks like he hasn't seen sunlight.
I think the blood loss from the ankle. Yeah. And he's just been bleeding for like.
He's just been bleeding out of that ankle since then.
Doesn't blood grow back?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He's like, no one ever fixed my ankle wound. I've been bleeding for 15 years.
So is he like Al Bundy? Like, I went around donating blood to 9 different blood banks. Al, the human body only holds 8 pints. It's not true. The brain hides some.
He's like an out of character Mr. Burns.
Premium. Well, I'm trying to get through it quicker. There was a lot of pause in that one, and we can't really jump cut right here. But brain hides some. That's just.
There's no one even watching anymore.
It's a great line. There's plenty of people.
Like Coolo Special says, is Cliff Lee available? Oh, boy. Remember when the Dodgers were going to get Cliff Lee?
Oh. Also said, Coolo Special also said Ryan Howard.
There from The Office?
Yes.
That Ryan Howard.
Yes. Yep. From The Office.
I've had people on the postgame show say they want Shane Victorino to be the next manager.
Are they drunk?
I heard some wild...
What is he doing these days?
Existing.
No idea.
I never really liked Shane Victorino.
I mean, he was a heartbreaker that one series. But.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
To leave the semblance of mystery here, Anthony Keene, I'm going to button up on his comment here. Anthony says, I agree on not going for the big name. It doesn't really fit, but it has happened before.
Has happened before.
Expect the unexpected. Again. 7 different kinds of smoke.
Oh, that's a real ball.
Oh, my God.
I had
like
to.
Like the Yankees kid. Lucky Verdugo's not here.
Banned from the studio. You're banned from all DNHQ studios. There's four of them.
Yeah, at least. And one of them has a golf simulator now. Anyways, I guess that's about it, guys. Doug, thanks for coming and hanging out with us, man.
It's always a
good time. This is the power powerhouse dream team right here, and when we're all together, nothing gets done elsewhere. So
good job, everybody.
Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We appreciate you. Find us on the internet at DodgersNation.com. Keep an eye out for all of those bunk and debunked and unbunked non-bunked rumors of things going on. Their trade deadline is 11 days away. There is only one trade deadline in 2021, and that is on July 30th. There's no non-waiver deadline, so subscribe to Blue Heaven. We're on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Player FM, all those other spots. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DodgersNationTV. We'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. Matt Kemp over there will be glad you did. Also, while you're at it, go download our app. There's an app, DN Fan App. It's pretty cool. There's a bunch of appy things in there, and it keeps you up to date. App to date, if you will, on all things Dodgers baseball.
Guys, I'm at Brookme3. This guy over here is at RealFRG. We're on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you go download that Chancery app. Get in there with us. Play. Win that $200 Fanatics gift card, because we don't want to win it because
we can't
legally. I think we go to jail after that. We are at Dodger Nation on Twitter, at Official Dodger Nation on Instagram. Thank you guys for your questions. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for hanging out with us. Leslie, have fun at the game on Thursday, Wednesday, whatever day. I forgot what day it is. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.